Oh, man, if you're not first, you're last. I'm currently, Buck, I'm looking at our major golf challenge at hornfm.com. I'm 22nd, which isn't terrible, but not first. Because we had a lot of people enter. I'm trying to see who killed me. Rory McIlroy did not help me.
No, I had a bunch of guys who were in it, except for I took Sam.
I need to add yours up. You might have done well because you know, you had Louis Oosthuizen, I believe, right?
I did. Paul Casey.
You know who really crushed me in my picks? Daniel Berger. +10. Yeah. That guy crushed me. Could have taken anybody in that group. He was far and away the worst player in the group that I selected. Former Longhorn Scotty Scheffler actually helped me.
Sam Burns didn't even show up.
But that didn't hurt you because this is 0 points. It's about the overall points. It's the guys that finish like way over par that hurt you.
Yeah, Gary Woodland.
Yeah. I'll
Rosie.
So I finished. Justin Rose finished -1 for the tournament.
Yeah, I had Rosie,
which is good. Sam Burns crushed you because it was +19.
Right.
+19.
Hovland.
Not good. All right, so we'll run through that. We'll grade yours, but congratulations to whoever is going to be the winner of that major golf challenge, and we'll get you some details on that. We'll be in contact. Also, we're talking Phil Mickelson and the weekend, the dramatics of the weekend. There was plenty of it across the sports spectrums, but let me ask and finish off the BNE Fact of the Day question. Entering the weekend at Kiawah Island, Phil Mickelson, number 115 in the world golf rankings. He is the second lowest-ranked player to ever win a major championship. Could you name the first was the question, and could you hazard a guess, Buck?
Well, two-time major winner, maybe John Daly, one of those times.
Good guess. By the way, it's been, 25 years since John Daly won that PGA Championship way back?
Was that, did he win that and a U.S. Open?
He won two of them. He won that and an Open Championship.
Okay.
The British Open,
okay.
But Phil Mickelson went at 115. The only player ever to win a major lower was a guy named Sean McKeel at the PGA Championship in 2003. That was in the middle of the Tiger Woods boom.
Right.
Sean McKeel won the PGA Championship.
That would have been an all-month deal for me right there.
Number 169 he was in the world when he won that event that year.
Whew.
And, you know, we see that in the PGA Championship quite a lot, right? The guy, Rich Beam, will rise up and win a PGA Championship. Sean McKeel, John Daly. Every once in a while you see one of those. But this time it's Phil Mickelson. That was part of a great weekend. Coming up in our Coach's Corner, Buck, we'll dive into David Pearson, his Texas baseball team, winning the Big 12 Championship. We'll let you hear that scene and what went on at the dish when the word spread that K-State had rallied to beat TCU. We'll get to that here coming up. First, so let's get your trending topics, get your headlines of the morning. Make sure you're fully in the know as you get up and out to start your work week. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And we will start with the historic weekend for Phil Mickelson in golf. 51-year-old Phil pulled away from Brooks Koepka early and then hung on to win the PGA Championship by 2 strokes at Kiawah Island, South Carolina. He's the oldest major winner in PGA Tour history. Lefty surpasses Julius Boros, who won the 68 PGA Championship at 48 years old. Here's Phil Mickelson on age is just a number.
My desire to play is the same. Like, I've never been driven by exterior things. I've always been, you know, intrinsically motivated because I love to compete. I love playing the game. I love having opportunities to play against the best at the highest level. And so that's what drives me. And I think that's what has the belief that I could still do it inspired me to work harder. And I just didn't see why it couldn't be done. It just took a little bit more effort.
That's his second Wanamaker Trophy, his first major title since 13 at the Open Championship. His last PGA Tour victory came back in February of 2019. Iconic scene there. Very wet but cool scene overall at Circuit of the Americas yesterday and over the weekend with the NASCAR debut. Chase Elliott, the winner of the inaugural Texas Grand Prix at COTA. Elliott was in the lead 54 laps into the 68 scheduled laps. That's when NASCAR officials made the call to end the race due to poor track conditions and water pooling on the track, and more rain was coming, so they shut it down. But all in all, good weekend out at Circuit of the Americas. Dramatics in the first round of the NBA playoffs yesterday. How about Madison Square Garden? Trae Young knocked down a floater with 0.9 seconds to go. Atlanta spoiled the Knicks' first home playoff game in 8 years, 107-105. Also yesterday, over in the East, Philadelphia, the top seed, took down Washington. In the West, Phoenix, the 2 seed, held off the Lakers 99-90 to take game one. And in a stunner last night in Salt Lake City, Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant combined for 57 as the 8-seeded Memphis Grizzlies topped The top-seeded Utah Jazz, 112-109. Saturday's Game 1 winners, including the Mavericks, who took down the L.A. Clippers in L.A., 113-103. Denver, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn also 1-0 series leads there. In Major League Baseball, Texas Rangers broke out of their slump this weekend. They swept the Houston Astros, took three straight, two of those in extra frames, and both games were won by the rookie, Adolis Garcia. Had a three-run walk-off homer on Friday night to win it in the 10th inning. Yesterday, infield single scored Nick Solak with the game winner. They win it 3-2. How about a little Texas women's softball? They win last night, 1:30 in the morning. Finally finished off Oregon to advance to the super regional round of the women's softball tournament in the NCAA. On Saturday, the Texas women's tennis team clinched a national championship with a 4-3 win over Pepperdine in Orlando. Congratulations there. And last night in Nashville, Austin FC was a 1-0 loser to the Nashville SC there in Nashville. They're now 2-4 on the year.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Congratulations to Texas baseball. What a way to stick in there, way to hang in there, way to make sure that every bat counted, every play counted in that, even though they lost on, what was it, Friday? They hung in there and got it done. Or was that Thursday night they lost?
They lost Thursday night.
They lost Thursday night. To hang in there Friday and Saturday, fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know, we gave credit to West Virginia and for the win, but I think Texas would say, and I think David Pierce reminded his team that, you know, that game with West Virginia was not to our standard, guys. This was not how we play the ball game.
Well, your starter's not going to be perfect throughout the year. I mean, he had a down night, gave up three home runs, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just across the board. I mean, they just weren't sharp. I mean, the pitcher wasn't sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Their base running wasn't sharp. They had a couple of bad breaks, but I think that's what we've seen with this Texas team all year is the resiliency.
Right.
To bounce back from a bad performance or a low performance. I thought Thursday night's loss was the worst loss of the year as far as, you know, quality of opponent you're playing, level of play that you played to, because that's what we've seen. You know, Texas only lost one midweek game all year, and that was at A&M. And by the way, coming up in our coaches' corner, A&M has fired their longtime baseball coach. That came down yesterday. We'll get you details on that. Could be a lot of movement on the college baseball coaching carousel here that's about to fire up. But, you know, Texas, you know, they played to a standard. That's how they've gotten to where they are. 40 wins now with back-to-back wins over West Virginia. They're going to be a one seed, and I don't think they played to that standard on Thursday, but they did on Friday and Saturday, which is what you like to see, the bounce-back performances. But here was the scene on Saturday. So Texas is up 10-1, cruising along. They're going to win this game. The question is, are they going to run rule West Virginia? Or,
right.
And you know, how long is this going to take? When is the knockout punch coming, essentially? But it was kind of a hollow win because you were looking at the scoreboard and TCU was comfortably in front of West Virginia, comfortably in front of K-State in Manhattan. But next thing you know, ninth inning in Manhattan, K-State goes on a rally and posts an eighth spot. Well, then let's hear the dramatic walk-off. So on senior day in Manhattan, a senior for K-State belts a three-run homer to win, and here's how it sounded from the K-State perspective.
The winning run at second base. Ceballos hits one deep to left. Back is Boyers, and it's gone!
They're going crazy in Manhattan. And an absolute gut punch to
that
TCU.
Must have hurt.
Think about TCU. They're one out away from a conference championship in the regular season,
goodness.
And they give up eight runs. Couldn't get three outs before they gave up eight runs to lose 11-8. And so all of a sudden, here's the scene at the dish where the Longhorns are up 10-1, and word spreads that, oh my God, I mean, Texas, they're just, you know, West Virginia's pitching to Zach Zubia, and the game's just going on, but the crowd gets the word that K-State has just won the game.
TCU has just fallen to Kansas State, and this crowd knows it.
That's pretty wild right there.
We'll give you the update and the final totals shortly, but it's official.
There you go. Keith Moreland and Greg Swindell on LHN bringing the scene, and that was cool. And so I mean, you see the crowd starts erupting, and the players are like, looking around like, what the heck just happened? Why is everybody cheering all of a sudden in just the middle of an inning? And obviously that was your reason, and that was pretty cool. So great scene there. Texas, your Big 12 champs. They'll head to Oklahoma City as the one seed, and First game for them will be Wednesday afternoon up there in OKC. So congratulations to Coach Pierce.
You know, some of the websites over the weekend, I saw where the one running back, little football note, the one running back, the star running back that's come here 2022, I guess, decided he's going to forego his senior year in high school.
Now, yeah, Jaden Blue. Yeah, he's not going to play his senior year of high school.
It's starting to get a little weird now.
Everything just trickles down.
When will it be? I mean, what if you offer a kid as a freshman in high school a scholarship? Expectations are that if you offer him and he accepts that scholarship, then you won't back out on that player if you do that with his family. What if he decides that I'm just going to go to school, I don't want to play football any longer, I want to save my body for for college? That's just it's starting to get really deep. I mean, I can understand there what could happen to a senior, you know. I mean, you could get hurt, and you're still going to have a scholarship. Nobody's going to back out of the scholarships. They don't really do that anymore. They try not to. There will be some discouragement about coming if something were to happen to you. But back in the day, even before I started coaching, dude, they would make sure that you were gone, some way, shape, or form. You did something. Something was going on. You weren't good enough, and they found ways to say goodbye to you. But they quit doing that kind of a long time ago. So this is. Now it's on the other shoe. I mean, the shoe's on the other foot, so.
Well, that would be a very discouraging development. I mean, obviously Steve Sarkisian can't pull the scholarship offer, but it's not something that you would want to encourage as a coach. You want a youngster to play for his team, play for his senior year.
And you're going to see more now.
Right. I mean, look, I'll argue for a player if he's played 3-4 years in college and has an opportunity to go to the NFL draft and, you know, change his life financially. But, you know, this is the opportunity to that scholarship's going to be there. If you go for your senior year to play with your teammates at your high school, try to win a state championship or win a district championship or whatever, you know, even if you injure yourself, the scholarship's still going to be there.
Yeah, and I got to believe a kid this good, his team must be pretty good.
Yeah.
If he's on the team,
well, it's one of those Klein schools. I can't remember exactly which one, but it's Jaden Blue. He's from Greater Houston area, Klein area. And he has decided he's going to just be a student his senior year.
That would be so hard for me to have told my high school coach, you know what, I know I got these scholarships, but I think I'm probably not going to play this year. That would be just so hard for me to do to my high school teammates. But it is starting to trickle down. It really is. And this kid and his, you know, Jaden talked to his family, and they were down with it. I know his teammates wouldn't be down with it, but... What are teammates when you're getting ready to go to a place like University of Texas? I don't even know what to say. I'm not even blaming the kid. I'm not saying it's his fault for doing that. I'm not saying that he shouldn't do that. It's just I don't know where we get to in this, and I don't know how to react to it. It's something that I don't like, but it's something that we've created.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those you're almost forced to respect all decisions these days that young people want to make.
That's what I mean. I know you can't.
You have to respect them.
If you get mad at them, then police will get after you.
It doesn't matter in my life as far as that goes, but if I'm a coach, if I'm Steve Sarkisian, I want that kid to be a competitor and go compete with his senior mates.
But the Longhorns are down with it. They're okay. They knew that was going to happen.
Because you don't want to turn the – you don't want to – it's a tough spot for the coach to be in. I'm assuming that's not something he would encourage others to do. I mean, you want guys to go compete for a district championship, a state championship, go play.
I like seeing you in senior
year. And develop.
Year.
I don't want you to – I mean, you're not there yet, kid. You're good. You're a good prospect, but you haven't done anything yet, so.
But he certainly thinks he is, and the university thinks he is.
Sure he does. But he made this decision post getting the scholarship and agreeing to it, right? I mean, he's still just a verbal, by the way. There's no signed document or no letter of intent. But, yeah.
By the way, he could stick it to you.
Well, sure he could. Sure, you could still change his mind. But I don't know. I'd be interested to get Steve Sarkisian's perspective on that, but he wouldn't be able to talk about it because he's not an official player yet.
It just has changed. It just is the way it is. And if you get after that kid, if you say something about that kid, then you're wrong. How can you tell a kid what to do? He's a magnificent player. He's going to college at
the
University of Texas.
That's the case in any kid's decision these days. We have to respect the kid's decision. You know, well, it used to not be that way, but maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But that is an intriguing little subplot on a Monday. Hey, let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. I'm sure that big 75-incher was fired up and looking good.
Oh, it was beautiful.
At Kiawah Island, South Carolina, over the weekend, and all of the landscapes of sports. Speaking of coaches, Phil Mickelson's short game coach, the guru, Dave Pels, will be our guest in the 8 o'clock hour, top of the 8, to talk about Phil's performance. Did he see it coming? What was his thoughts as he was watching his one of his star students, rolling through another major championship at 51 years old. Always good to talk to Dave, the scientist. Dave Pels, the scientist. Also from the coaching realm, we mentioned, you know, we saw it in college basketball with the coaching carousel, right, and college football. You know, major decisions. Big decision at Aggieland yesterday, College Station. Rob Childress, the longtime coach at Texas A&M, was his contract not renewed. He's going to be out. He was 16 years with the Aggies, a couple of College World Series appearances, wow. But a bad year this year. You know, remember we mentioned the Longhorns' only midweek loss this year was at A&M. They lost 2-0. Well, after that game, from that game on, A&M finished the season 7-17 from that point on. They're not
no momentum there?
None. They're not going to be in the SEC tournament. They don't even qualify. And so Rob Childress, you know, turned loose yesterday. A lot of respect for him by former players, and he put a lot of ball players into the big leagues and then developed a really nice program. But the change is made. And I hate to say this because we saw it here in Austin, but the name I'm hearing that they're going to go after aggressively, Buck, is the Texas Tech coach Tim Tadlock, who, of course, Texas just took their basketball coach, Chris Beard, who is highly successful. Tim Tadlock is seen as one of the top college baseball coaches in the landscape. And I don't know that he'll leave. I'm pretty sure Tadlock is a Texas Tech graduate, and there's a lot of thought that you know, that's his spot. But I did hear over the weekend that the Aggies are going to go after him really, really hard. And that may not be the only top Big 12 coach that people are after out of the SEC this summer, or this, you know, as things move forward, as seasons end. I would keep an eye on that, but I'm going to... You know, Aggies keeping an eye on Tim Tadlock with Texas Tech. But Texas Tech has a season to finish, so that's not going to happen today.
Right.
Texas Tech is playing in the Big 12 tournament, and they'll be in the big, you know, the field of 64. So there's still a lot between now and then, but just keep that name under your hat, and we'll keep an eye on college baseball.
Yeah, and how about in the Major League Baseball? You know, about 7 weeks ago, you, myself, and Zay were talking about Tatis Jr. and how, boy, they're not getting their money's worth. But the Padres, but, you know, man, that guy's fun to watch. His antics are kind of funny in a way. I mean, that deal he has, the chain that they put around him and spin it around, he's a baller now. He doesn't miss very many pitches if you make a mistake.
No, he's a great player. That's why they signed into that mega contract. I mean, I was in favor of letting him finish a full season in his major league career before you actually give him that money, because they had no impetus to do so.
He's on fire right now.
But they absolutely did. Padres took care of the Dodgers. The streaks are the big name thing in Major League Baseball. The Rays have won double-digit games in a row. Your Yankees have won 6 straight. Padres are playing good baseball right now. And Rangers just swept the Astros over the weekend. That was odd, because the Astros had come into that series winning 10 of 11. The Rangers had lost 9 of 10, and it was the Rangers that up and won that series. Astros' bullpen was leaky over the weekend. They looked like they're out of gas at this point in their bullpen, and the Rangers found some runs. And the Cuban rookie, Adolis Garcia, is hitting all the long balls and really carrying that Ranger offense right now. Yeah, Fernando Tatis Jr., part of the good of the weekend. We also had the golf of the weekend. We'll talk to Dave Pels. We've got Texas baseball as a champion. Texas tennis as a national champion as part of the subplots of the weekend. So we'll take your good, your bad, and your ugly from the things going on out there. What would he come in? Yeah, yesterday, the rain was terrible. It was raining all day, so there wasn't much to do. And I was remote control surfing yesterday. It was all day, man. It was PGA Championship as they teed him off. It was flipping over to the NBA to see these great games.
Oh, yeah, I saw LeBron go down like he was playing soccer.
Yeah.
Come on, LeBron.
Lakers, trouble.
Come on, now, Zay. Tell LeBron to quit rolling around the ground and then getting up and taking a blow. He must be tired. He must be getting old.
Hollywood, baby.
Hollywood is right. My goodness.
Yeah, Space Jam 2 coming out soon. He's doing all these commercials with him salsa dancing.
I didn't think he was going to be able to get up after that hit. I'm like, dude, get off the ground, will you? Rolling around, holding his shoulder.
Yeah, Chris Paul, that was kind of dirty. I'm not going to lie. Y'all might be friends and all, but yeah, Chris Paul, you didn't have to grab his arm like that.
You mean when he stuck that butt out and got him a little bit?
Yeah, I've never seen a box out where somebody's grabbing your arm and pulling it. They don't teach that back in the day.
Hey, we're playing. This is playoffs now. Come on, man.
Well, I mean,
what are you talking about?
Certainly for one game, it's the first of seven. And as we said, LeBron's never lost a 7-game series in the first round in his career, but Phoenix looked like the better team. DeAndre Ayton was the best big on the floor, not Anthony Davis. But Chris Paul did hurt his shoulder, so there you go. Devin Booker had 34, and he was the leading scorer in that game. But yeah, I mean, the these series are long. Obviously, they'll go back to L.A., but Phoenix, the two seed for a reason, and the Lakers have their hands full. And the one thing you know about the Lakers is they have no chemistry right now. They just haven't been together.
Yeah, a lot of turnovers by them, throwing
and
it
that's,
away.
They don't have a lot. It's kind of like the Brooklyn thing. Now, Brooklyn won their first game, but you know, how cohesive can you be if you haven't played together much with your star players?
Is it almost my time to say, my 76ers, are we getting close?
Are you adopting them now?
Do I need to wait a little bit?
They beat Washington yesterday. They're the one seed.
They should, right?
With Glenn Doc Rivers getting her done. All right, quick timeout. We'll come back and all morning long recap the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend, getting you off to work and your work week underway. If you are out and about, Don Miller's got your traffics because it's a mess out there. Be careful. I did hit a couple of slick spots this morning, Buck, where the water is pooling.
Lots of water.
And a little hydroplaning action. And just take your foot off the gas and take it easy. Take it easy when you're coming through those water spots
for sure.
Out there. Be safe. Also, our hot or not topics for the end of the hour. Dave Pels, our buddy Rodney Rodriguez, will join us later in the show to recap the weekend at COTA. They had all the races out there, NASCAR, the trucks, the Xfinity Series. Rodney did a great job out there, by the way. Rodney and his team at Revved Up ATX had extended coverage on Saturday and Sunday, which I thought was outstanding, live from the track. That was brought to you by AMM Collision, so appreciate those guys. We'll talk to Rodney. We'll talk to Dave. We'll talk to you and hear from you, live, local, and digital, streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Good, bad, and ugly on a Monday. Weather continues to be ugly. The rain will continue throughout the day today. Taking your thoughts on the weekend, the historic run for Phil Mickelson. I don't know that Phil Mickelson has ever been more popular and fun to root for. He's been in our center of the sports landscape and attention for the last 25 years, but fun to watch Phil yesterday. Can we play this again, Zay? The Phil Mickelson pregame strategy, the walking up on Sunday, what his pre-Sunday round idea was. This is what was in his head and why he was feeling good about his chances of winning another golf major. Here was Phil waxing on social media.
Today's formula for victory is going to be C squared equals B plus HS equals I and V. What does that mean? Well, C squared is coffee. You couple that with calves, and you have exponential performance. That equals B plus HS, which is bombs and hellacious C's, which equals I and V, intimidation and victory.
Dude, he threw some bombs out there yesterday,
he
though.
He did, bombs.
He left his feet a couple times. I was like, whoa, Phil.
Yeah,
he knew it was going right to left. I mean, he just carved it back into the fairways, and he was off the ground on a couple shots yesterday. That was good stuff to watch.
That was sweet.
That lasted long, too. That was a long...
Coffee and calves equals exponential performance. Keep that in mind. And bombs. You got to have bombs.
Oh, he had bombs.
He had bombs. 366.
Yes,
I think it was on number 16. He had 366. He outdrove Koepka. It was funny. He was...
Don't forget, Koepka had a bad knee now. He'll tell you.
He was babying it.
He's okay. He'll be all right.
Baby. Yeah, it wasn't Koepka's best day, that's for sure, even during or after.
No, it was terrible day afterwards. It was a terrible display of sportsmanship. Gather your thoughts before you start cussing and acting ungolf-like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was frustrated. He was the putter abandoned him over the weekend, and that led to some bad shots, and then the knee. So he was frustrated, clearly, but did not handle that right. I think you're right on with that deal.
Yeah.
But Phil was I thought Phil was hilarious. I mean, this is the thing about Phil now. I mean, Phil, because remember we had Chubby Phil. I remember a couple people called him Fat Phil.
Mm-hmm. When he had the man breast.
Couldn't beat Tiger. He blew up a couple times. Remember, gave away the U.S. Open at Wingfoot back in the day. And, you know, he's always been a very likable player, but he's been so many different forms of Phil. Well, now here's Phil at 51. Looks like he's 31 in the shape that he's in. And the work that he's done to get his body where it's at.
I'm not going to go to 31.
Dude,
I'm going to say 41 is good.
Dude, he looked worse at 31 than he does at 51. As far as his over, yeah, I mean, but then you just heard him in that little thing. I mean, he's loose, he's confident, he's goofing around, he's not taking himself too seriously, which is fun to see. Heck, I mean, there's a guy that was at the tournament yesterday named Jason Sobel who works for the Action Network, right? It's golf. It's, you know, golf is a huge gambling sport, right? People gamble on golf like crazy.
All the time, yes.
It's the number one.
Yes.
You'd think it would be NFL football. It's actually golf. And a guy named Jason Sobel is a golf writer and works for the Action Network. He reported that he crossed paths with Phil after the match, and Phil said to him, "Hey, did you get any action on that? I know how you roll. Did you take me? I was 300-1.
Well, FanDuel, you're allowed to, right?
Yeah. Did you get any action up on me? That was good. But Phil wins. We'll talk to Dave Pels coming up, his short game guru. The coach will join us and talk about Phil's performance over the weekend. Very, very likable. And that course, very likable.
You know, I'm sure they're going to do. That would not be likable for me.
You wouldn't want to play that?
Not even at the red tees.
Almost 8,000 yards
too
long.
Too much sand around there.
But you got the Atlantic Ocean right there.
I don't care about the
barrier
beauty.
Island.
No. Those greens were just tough for those dudes. Those dudes can, they are the best putters in the world. And coming up 2 feet short on putts. Hell, Phil's first putt. Did you see his first putt when he made bogey at one? You know, it was like 4 feet he missed it by eight. He came up so short. I thought it would be a long day, but he got in there and got that par five and birdied that. It was a fun course to watch, but that's a brutal place, even without wind.
Yeah, somebody said Phil will turn 51 on June 16th. Yeah, so his birthday's coming up.
Yes, when we're saying 51, we know that.
He's
11 months. Yeah,
he's
okay.
He's almost done with his 51st year.
Yes.
He's closer to 51 than 50, let's just say that.
Same texter wants us to be correct, not say that he's 51. Okay, he's 11 months.
Birthday's coming, 3 weeks away.
Thank you.
And again, my focus is going to be on that U.S. Open, because I believe, we'll ask Dave Pels about this, I think this weekend was a part of a bigger plan to try to get to the U.S. Open, because that's the one major he's never won. And you realize that had he not won this event, he didn't have an exemption to the U.S. Open. He was going to have to qualify for it at Torrey Pines. Now, obviously, he's in, and he's got exemptions for every major for 5 years. But that becomes a huge storyline, because it's his hometown, his brother's on his bag. And let's hear one more from Phil Mickelson talking about cherishing this part of his career, because, you know, we were thinking Champions Tour and, you know, moving on. He was put in the World Golf Hall of Fame 10 years ago. Now here he is winning a major. Here's Phil on where he's at in his career.
It's certainly one of the moments I'll cherish my entire life. And I don't know how to describe the feeling of excitement and fulfillment and accomplishment to do something when you know, at this magnitude, when very few people thought that I could, but the people that believed in me, my wife Amy and Tim and Andrew Getson and Coach, those people that continued to inspire me and get the best out of me.
Now, Phil's had a lot of great things that have happened to him in his life and in his career. You know, his wife battled cancer, which is number one,
yeah.
And she's doing great, so that's number one. If this ain't number two, I don't know what is. Fill out all your championship wins, your Masters and everything else. This scene yesterday and this win at 51 is a big deal. This is it. This is the one. At this age, to do that against the kind of competition that you just played against is magnificent.
Yeah, and clearly,
not one of the great things.
Wildly popular. I mean, the crowd, and that's another thing that got Brooks Koepka riled up. I mean, he had to deal with that all day. Which he knew going in, he was going to be the underdog. Everyone was going to be rooting for Phil. Little Aaron Rodgers, Koepka. All right, some good news on Dak Prescott. We got football. I'm going to give you this here in a minute. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars continue to be in the news because there's a cool story this morning. You know, they're doing a behind the scenes look. If you for Jacksonville Jaguar fans, there's like they're doing their own in house digital, you know, lead up to the draft deal for Jacksonville. And in it, it reveals that the Jacksonville Jaguars had one player with a perfect grade, an 8.0 grade, actually two players. Their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, who they grade, because each team grades every player, right? And the grade, usually the for most teams, the highest mark is an 8.0. And they had two. Could you guess who the other player was that they had as an 8.0 that was revealed through this behind-the-scenes show they're putting on? Mm. Trevor Lawrence was an 8.0. There was one other player. I'll get you the answer here in a minute.
Little Franco?
No, not Najee Harris. Not an 8.0. Nope, it was not him. But Dak Prescott said over the weekend that in regards to his injury, that I could start and finish a game right now without worrying about my leg. Like, as of right now, like today.
I'm glad he feels confident about that until he starts seeing people run around his leg and...
He says, I'm right
come
on pace.
Behind him. That's great.
I'm healthy. If we had to play a game right now, he told Sage Steele on ESPN, I could go out there and be very successful. Start the game, finish the game. Not even worry about the leg.
That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear from your quarterback that, you know what, I've got some time. I've still got time. He's like ready to go right now. But it's different to say that than to actually be out there on the
– Sure it is.
With guys falling down in front of you and guys crawling to your legs. So, but that's good. That's good for the Cowboys.
That is good for the Cowboys. Very good for the Dallas Cowboys. But the player that had an 8.0, according to the – because every team's grades are different. We know that. But the other perfect score belonged to the sixth pick in the draft, Alabama wide receiver Jalen Waddle.
Don't give me that. This is don't. I'm not going to have to say bust. I don't want to do that to Waddle. I don't want to have to throw that down to him. But the best wide receiver for them is playing now in New York, right?
Devontae Smith.
Philly.
He would have been in New York, but the Eagles traded up and ahead of the Cowboys.
That's right.
That will always be a storyline that they stole Devontae Smith from the Giants, the dreaded Eagles, those scumbags.
Still.
And they traded with the Cowboys to do it.
Guy won the Heisman Trophy, still the best receiver that came out in the draft.
Well, Jamar Chase went fifth.
Yes.
Freaky Pitts went fourth. But the 8.0 for Jacksonville was Waddle. And there are those who will say, maybe one day we'll get Steve Sarkisian to give us his opinion, because he had all those guys.
Right.
Because 2 years ago, they had Waddle, Smith, Henry Ruggs, and Jerry Jeudy all in one receiver room. They've all been drafted in the top, you know, 15 of each of the last two drafts. And a lot, some people believe that Waddle was the best of the bunch, but he got hurt this year.
I don't buy that. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying. My guy is still Smith. It's all about his size.
Yeah, he's
that they talk about.
Slight, the Slim Reaper.
Doesn't matter. If you can't touch it or catch it, it doesn't matter.
8.0, those are hard to come by. Waddle, the man, we'll see. And if he is that good, if he can be that kind of a – because the Dolphins immediately say that they're going to try to use him like Tyreek Hill, right? They think he's that explosive that he can, you know, he can do anything you want. You can hand it to him, flip it to him, get him in motion, get him moving. And, you know, Tua and he already know each other, obviously, played together at Alabama. That could be pretty huge. I mean, those storylines are pretty cool to have Jalen Waddle back with Tua and then Jamar Chase in Cincinnati, the other great receiver in this draft, back with Joe Burrow, you know, trying to make things happen. That's going to be pretty cool this year.
Do you think, Zay, if the Heisman Trophy winner would have said, yeah, I like catching balls from Tua instead of the other guy, that he probably would have been in Miami? You think Tua had anything to do with Waddle being there?
No, because Jalen Waddle said the same thing. He said that he liked Mac Jones, the way he threw the
ball.
They
both did?
Yeah, they both said that.
Ooh.
Now, I don't think if teams are drafting on what a player says, you want to hear what type of person he is, you watch the film, though. Watch the film. Who's the explosive player?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm not saying Devontae Smith wasn't. I'm saying Waddle was equally explosive. And the year before, what a ridiculous receiver. That's the greatest receiving core of all time in college football history. There's nothing even close. When you had those four players, and they didn't win the national championship that year, by the way, LSU did.
That's right, with that group.
Yes, because they had Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson and Clyde Edwards-Alaire and Joe Burrow. I mean, ridiculous. Ridiculous, those two teams the last couple of years. All right, coming back, we'll hit the hot or not topics, including what Isaiah Collier thinks we've missed halfway through the show. And one prominent sports website has an interesting pick for the Heisman Trophy winner this year. Pretty interesting. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot and what's not.
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot and not on this Monday morning. Weather not hot, traffic a mess out there. Be careful. As Lionel Richie used to sing. Easy. Easy like Monday morning.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you said Sunday, but Monday. Just take it easy. You'll get there, right?
No, you'll get to this weekend. Great weekend coming up for you.
Take it easy. I did see Lionel Richie last night announced he's going back on tour because he was on American Idol, the finale last night, which was won by, I don't want to spoil it, but Chase Beckham.
Going back on tour.
Chase Beckham, the crooner from California, won it. The girls liked him, I guess. But he
back
is talented.
On tour.
Yeah, Lionel says he's going to be going back on tour. He's got songs to sing, stories to tell. Yeah.
Again?
Easy like Sunday morning.
Again?
Again, dancing on the ceiling.
Oh, man.
Lionel's back, baby. Also on the hot or not side, we've got CBS Sports. One of their writers has projected that Texas sophomore Bijan Robinson will be the Heisman Trophy winner in 2021. That's right. The Heisman Trophy winner. Who is this guy picking him? They all had to pick what their preseason picks were going to be. Bijan says Steve Sarkisian is staying up nights trying to figure out a way to get Bijan the ball on the ground and through the air. And with a young quarterback to break in and inexperienced and unproven receivers, you're going to build the offense around old number five.
Yeah, they'll wear him out.
Yeah. Which,
why not?
If Tom Herman had taken that mantra last year, he might still be here.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I would say if a running back in the Big 12 is going to win the Heisman, I would take the Iowa State running back, Breece Hall, right now.
Yes, I would. He is the best running back in the conference, one of the best running backs in the country, not just in this conference.
But if you build your offense, and, you know, Sark has shown,
he'll set him up for the following year, not for next year.
He'll feed the beast.
Not with a new quarterback. No, you can feed him all you want to. You'll wear his ass out if your quarterback isn't up to snuff. If you just turn around and just hand the ball off to him 20 or 30 times, then you're going to come up with a running back that's going to be worn out. But you can set him up really nice for the following year.
Also on the hot side, we're going to talk to the short game guru, the short game coach for Phil Mickelson coming up. Our own Central Texas neighbor, Dave Pels, will be with us to talk about the great performance of Phil over the weekend. And you mentioned you kept hearing Phil talk with his brother about the Pels shot.
Yeah, which one? It was one of those. It was one of his wedges, but I'm not quite
sure.
Well,
ask Dave,
because he's probably got 50 of them.
Yeah, they worked a lot together out there at that practice complex at his home.
He sure was giving him a lot of pub. That was great.
And Isaiah Collier, who takes over now with the Hot or Not, you should know that we've dealt with air conditioning issues here at the station where it's been freezing cold while we're doing the show. Last Monday we had unspotted dog poop in the studio.
Yeah, man.
This morning we have an air conditioner that's not working. Actually, it's off. Because apparently it was leaking over the weekend, so it's kind of hot in here. Zay, you said you almost went shirtless yesterday.
No, not almost.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Your boy was shirtless on the Wagner Wire yesterday. I think our...
You went skins?
Oh, yeah. I think our women listeners went up because...
Nice!
Your boy pulled the old Mark Henry sexual chocolate look.
You know what?
That I'm very proud of.
The week before, we had something that was disgusting, but that was pure black beauty. On Sunday.
Black beauty.
Oh, yeah. That was ebony.
Now, did Wags left his shirt on, right?
No.
Wags left his shirt on.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
You all up in here with no shirt on, really?
Oh, yeah.
Were you in this seat right here?
Sexual chocolate? No. I was in these.
Okay. You weren't
sexual
like
chocolate,
leaning,
though.
You weren't leaning back sweating.
Was
on
it
this
on
thing,
Twitch?
Right?
Yeah, it was on Twitch.
Twitch.
Dang.
Oh, yeah. Can we get a replay of that?
Glad I missed it.
Can you replay Twitch? Can you go back?
I'm sure Trevor could do a little something.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a little warm in the studio, a little toasty up in here this morning. We'll be fine, though. Zay, what are you having, hot or not?
Good looking out, E. So, fellas, I think I realize why Jennifer Lopez called it quits with Alex Rodriguez. Because when a woman is going into the restroom to get right and ready, you don't want to see your man putting on concealer. And Alex Rodriguez is soon to be dropping a new men's makeup line where he says that when he goes from meetings to meetings, he needs something to cover up his razor bumps and blemishes.
I got that. I can understand that from a man.
So, yeah. Especially a guy who's
like a saint.
Sounds like you're not hot on this day. I know Bucky's done some TV work in his day, and you had to go over to the Nordstrom's and let your makeup artist
Absolutely. The guy on the NFL Network, one of the dudes that is with that very attractive young lady who's very smart and talented on the NFL Network. That
Kay
has a
Adams.
Show yeah, one of those dudes, he wears eye stuff all the time.
Peter Schrager?
Dude wears eye stuff. I know that. I see that. I understand that.
You do?
Yes. I may do this for Twitch one day where I really go Alice Cooper up in here.
So we're burying this Alex Rodriguez lead. He's gonna have his own brand, own line of male makeup.
Yep.
Come on, A-Rod.
Were you not down with that, Zay?
For everyday life. I get it. You have to be camera ready. I understand that. But come on. A-Rod seems like the type of guy that puts this on, takes it off before bed, gets ready with it. A-Rod. He's a little too pretty.
He is pretty. And, maybe that's with J-Lo's problem, that A-Rod was prettier than her. I mean, tried to be prettier than her, right?
Yeah, man, I got stuff that I have to put on at night for my face.
Yeah, but if you're going on TV, you don't want to be shiny. You know what I mean? You don't want to be all glowing.
Absolutely.
Next time we talk to our guy, Bob Ballou.
We're going to go Alex.
Alex, Bob Ballou from all the TV guys, they were the pancake.
Eyes. Yeah, they don't want those big old wrinkles, them bags showing.
Yeah, and it kind of gets shiny on your forehead, like
especially
for me
this,
on Twitch.
This head that I got, woo!
Come on,
you don't think
A-Rod.
Pam Oliver uses a whole can of it on the top of her head, forehead?
She's a woman.
Oh, okay.
Plus, J-Lo was missing her man Ben Affleck, apparently. She needed that. Well, I know our guy Craig Way wears makeup when he does Fox Sports, man, when he's doing those ball games. Sportscaster of the Year, Craig Way's got the makeup on for sure on television.
I think I better pass on this one.
We come back. We will talk with Dave Fells. He is the short game coach of Phil Mickelson. What did he see over the weekend? Did he see this coming from Phil out of nowhere? 50 years old, nearly 51, wins the PGA Championship. We'll reset that headline and all the headlines, plus talk to Dave. It's B&E with you on a Monday. Live, local, and digital streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.